Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's November the 4th, 2008, Election Day. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And Harry Cooney of GrowMark will join us to take up the energy markets. USDA released the crop progress report yesterday. Nationwide, 90% of the wheat crop has been sown. 86% of the bean crop has been harvested. And corn harvest has finally passed the 50% complete mark. We'll have details later and full updates on conditions in Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana. Hey, and in just 26 minutes, don't forget that meteorologist Don Day will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby December contract in the wheat at $5.72.5, 10 and a half higher on the afternoon. The March futures at $5.93.25, up 10 and three quarters. And May wheat at $6.07.25, up 11 and one quarter cents. December corn futures $4.13, a dime higher for the day. March futures at $4.30.75, up 10 cents. May at $4.42.75, up 10 and a quarter. And July at $4.54.5, up 11. November beans $9.49.5, 21 and a quarter higher. January at $9.59, up 21 and a half. And the May futures in the bean pit at $9.82.75, up 22 cents. December bean meal $2.77.80, up 2.60. December bean oil at $35.97, up 1.23. December live cattle futures $93.85, 52 and a half higher. November feeders at $100.50, up 80 cents on the day. And the December lean hog futures finished the day at $54.42.5. They finished up 2.5 cents on the afternoon. A quick look at the outside markets at this hour. December crude oil futures at $71.50 a barrel are now up $7.59 a barrel. November ethanol at $1.84.3, up 5 4/10. December natural gas at $7.21.5, up 37 7/10 on the day. And the heating oil, that's diesel fuel, is now trading at $2.15 1/10, up 16 8/10. Gold futures at $7.56 are $30.60 higher on the afternoon, and the Dow at 95.10 is up just about 190 points. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Keezer. He says tonight, mostly clear skies. Lows will range from 45 in the south to 55 in the northwestern parts of Illinois. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Highs will range between 70 and 77. The extended forecast for the two-state says showers and thunderstorms are likely to enter northwestern and west-central Illinois before daybreak on Thursday, but all other areas should remain dry right through Wednesday night. Rain and thunderstorms, says Ed, will accompany a cold front that should push through Illinois and Indiana Thursday afternoon into Thursday night. That front will end this period of unseasonably warm weather. Scattered showers likely Friday afternoon and Saturday, especially in the northern half of Illinois and Indiana. A few showers will still be possible on Sunday. High temps over the weekend will only be in the 40s in most locations. Early indications put damp and rather cool weather into next week. In summary, excellent weather for harvest and field work will continue through tomorrow night, and that'll be followed by much less favorable weather that will continue until at least next week. By the way, if you haven't visited our website recently, you ought to do that soon. It's willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find this program, Commodity Week, our pre-opening and opening market reports, and all kinds of USDA reports as well. They're all at willag.org and updated constantly throughout the day. It's your source for agricultural information. Please visit the website and make sure you subscribe to our weekend newsletter. It's free, and it's a good one all about marketing. It's free. Just hit subscribe over there on the right-hand side of the page at willag.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. It's a Tuesday afternoon. We're joined now to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural markets by Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, Wayne, I've got to tell you that we have a Russian delegation in studio with us this afternoon. So if you hear a little interpretation behind me, that's because, there are some interpreters behind us this afternoon, and I suppose you should be very careful with what you say, don't you think?
Well, we won't try to say anything that will offend the guys. I mean, we'll be very generous to him today, and, we're happy to see him visiting the University of Illinois, and hopefully there can be some good ideas exchanged.
You know, that's one of the great things about working here on campus and having the ability with this land grant to reach out across the globe is that we often have delegations here on campus that we can talk with about agricultural issues. They're here in particular to discuss biotechnology issues with those folks in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, but we can reach out and talk to them a little bit about what type of wheat crop they might have coming on in the Ukraine, as well as in parts of Russia. We know, for instance, I think that it was an awfully good year for them and that their technology is advancing quickly, and I'd like to know just how fast that's advancing, what kinds of hybrids they expect to be using in the next decade or so. We'll probably ask them about that, and I'll report to you later in the week. But maybe we should start with what's been happening at the Chicago Board of Trade on this day. What did you find when you looked at the numbers?
Well, you know, it was sort of an Election Day rally. It was sort of the feature that finally we're going to get to find out who we have, and it takes some of the unknown away, and the Board of Trade hates unknown. That, with the crude oil rally of over $7 a barrel, Todd, the dollar dropping over dollar 157 points here right now as we speak, and the Dow Jones and the foreign markets all up strong overnight, come in, and we rallied a little harder than the overnight grains did, and in a very somewhat light volume trade, traded real hard, and we saw just a little bit of sell-off on the close, but still up 10 on the corn and 20 on the beans in somewhat of an unexpected or fundamentally unrational type gain for what we were looking at. I think the main thing come out of, and we don't quite understand this, but the crude oil, the Saudis have started scaling back their production of crude, and that seemed to solidify that the OPEC nations were going to start cutting back on their crude production.
Well, if they start to cut back on their crude production, of course, that'll probably be good for the price of corn, I would think, over the long run.
Well, that, of course, the crude oil rally was what helped inspire the corn rally today, and, of course, that would be, you know, what we're looking at is the outside markets pulling the corn a little bit higher here. The one thing, as your delegation there will know, is they have a lot of feed wheat for sale this year in their area of the world, and that's been cutting into our corn export market so far.
Yeah, the global production of wheat was high this past year, and of course that's what brought the price of wheat down substantially over the last 6 to 7 months, and those numbers are expected to stay high in the wheat-growing regions of the world as well.
Yeah, and then, of course, the other thing we ought to talk about, of course, F.C. Stone come out with their crop production guesstimates for the report Monday, and so did Informa. You know, F.C. Stone being a little bit below the government numbers from their revisions, and Informa just a little bit above, but both of them a little bit lower than what might have been expected. So that was a little bit of a positive thing to the grain market today, too, Todd.
Because I've been busy with the delegation, what were the Stone numbers and the Informa numbers?
The Stone numbers were 11,990 production on the corn. That's a 153.4. The government had been a 153.9 at a 12,033. Informa's was at a 12,028, and that was 154.1. On the beans, Informa was at 2,987. That's a 40.2 yield.
Right.
F.C. Stone was at 29.16, at 39.2, and of course the government was at 29.38, was at 39.5. So, you know, like I say, Informa had been a little bit on the high side all through these estimates, so their numbers dropped down a little bit also.
So Informa's numbers dropped down. Hey, did you see, and I only caught just a little bit of this, the F.C. Stone release about them being in trouble just a bit with the marketplace and What was how much was that loss? It was something like $25 billion, I think, that they were in trouble.
That's a little bit, huh?
Yeah. Was that the number? I didn't bring that paperwork in.
I did not see it, Todd. Rather than comment on...
Let's not forget the numbers, because I picked this up off AgWeb, and I did see some numbers that went with it. But apparently, and I wonder how widespread this might be, F.C. Stone seemed to think that they would be okay, but they had somebody on the wrong side of the ethanol market.
Well, it could have been Verisun.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. That it might have been. So this is probably not all that widespread, but it does still tell us that we're in trouble sometimes in the economy at this point, and we've got a long way before we dig out of it.
Like I say, we've got an Election Day rally today here. Will the honeymoon be over, and how soon will the honeymoon last as far as the enthusiasm goes? We've got a long ways to climb out of the economic problems we have here, but we've said all along that we think that all of the money they're kicking into the economy should someday show up as inflationary. So that's one of the things. So one of the things we are very concerned about is Verisun's viability in the market and their staying power, because they are a large ethanol producer, Todd.
All right. Thanks much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website when you can. It's willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of WILL, public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program and of Commodity Week. You can hear both of them on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, yesterday's weekly crop progress ratings showed that the winter wheat crop now stands 55% in good condition and 12% in excellent. That's actually down 2 percentage points from the previous week. There has been 90% of the crop planted at this point, and that compares to 90% last year and the rolling five-year average of 92%. On the emerged front, 76% of the winter wheat crop nationwide is out of the ground, compares to last year at 74%. And 78% on the rolling five-year average. Here's the numbers nationwide for corn and soybeans. Crop condition for the corn is the same this week as it was last week. Harvested number has reached 55% nationwide. That's well behind the 83% harvested last year at this time and the rolling five-year average of 79%. We'll hear from the other states in a moment, but we did not get a report from Iowa. So the numbers in Iowa look like this. 43% of the crop there for corn has been harvested, normally at 79%. For the soybeans, the percent harvested in Iowa, 93%. The rolling five-year average, 98% nationwide, 86% of the bean harvest has been completed. That compares to 90% last year on the harvest and 89% on the rolling five-year average.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending November 2nd. Temperatures averaging nearly 3 degrees below normal may not have been ideal drying conditions for the state's unharvested corn. However, the week ending with virtually no rainfall was welcomed, allowing combines to roll nearly every day last week. Topsoil moisture came in at 1% very short, 4% short, 88% adequate, and 7% surplus, which provided for excellent growing conditions in the soft red winter wheat crop. Taking a look at this week's crop progress statistics, corn harvest at 66% complete advanced by an impressive 20 percentage points, which amounted to nearly 2.5 million acres harvested in just 7 days. Last year on this date, corn harvest had reached 97% complete, and 92% was the five-year average. The crop reporting district leading in harvest progress was the southwestern region at 93% complete, while the northwestern region trailed all others at 50%. For soybeans, harvest also made excellent progress and advanced by 14 percentage points to 90% complete, compared to last year's 97% and 94% for the five-year average. Soft red winter wheat seedings now stand at 92% complete, compared to 98% 1 year ago and 93% for the five-year average. 64% of the crop was reported emerged, trailing last year's 85% and the 74% five-year average. Overall, the recent wet conditions have ensured good germination, and the crop was rated in mostly good condition. Rounding out this week's crop progress numbers, 52% of the sorghum crop was reported harvested, compared to 98% 1 year ago and 85% normally. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Becky Summer of the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Nebraska Field Office with the Crop Weather Report for the week ending November 2, 2008. Fall harvest picked up intensity by midweek as dry, warm conditions allowed farmers back in the field. Soybean harvest continues to be ahead of last year and is 92% complete. Corn harvest is now 2.5 weeks behind the average at 37%. Hard freezing temperatures ended the growing season across the state. Temperatures averaged 5 degrees above normal with no significant precipitation reported statewide. Winter wheat conditions rated 86% good or excellent and virtually all has emerged, which is near last year in the average. Cattle were being moved to stocks as they became available. This is Becky Summer of the USDA NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Suzette Qualley with USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report. Soybean harvest was almost complete throughout Minnesota as of Sunday, November 2nd. In the Red River Valley, surplus soil moisture limited harvest progress. Meanwhile, corn harvest across the state advanced 24 percentage points during the past week. Sugar beet and sunflower harvests also progressed steadily. The average temperature for the week was 42.1 degrees, 3.2 degrees above normal. As of Sunday, November 2nd, 54% of the corn crop was harvested, compared to 84% last year and 80% on average. Soybean harvest reached 97% complete, compared to 96% last year and 97% average. Sugar beet harvest was at 94% complete, compared to 99% last year and on average. Sunflower harvest reached 56% complete, compared to 77% last year and 76% on average. As of Friday, October 31st, 68% of the corn was rated in good or excellent condition. 64% of sunflowers and 38% of pasture were rated in good or excellent condition. This has been the weekly crop weather report from USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Matley with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is the crop progress and condition report for week ending November 2nd. Nearly ideal weather conditions aided harvest progress around the state. Harvest of both corn and soybeans is nearing completion for many operations. High moisture content in some corn is causing lags at the elevators due to the limited drying capacities. Most of the soybeans remaining to be harvested are late planted or double cropped fields. As harvest winds down, many operations are focusing on fall tillage, spreading of fertilizer and lime, fall herbicide applications, and installing drainage tile. 74% of the corn acreage has been harvested compared to 88% last year and 76% for the five-year average. By area, 71% of the corn acreage has been harvested in the north, 76% in the central region, and 77% in the south. Moisture content of harvested corn is averaging about 18%. 91% of the soybean acreage has been harvested compared with 95% last year and 90% for the five-year average. By area, 94% of the soybean acreage has been harvested in the north, 94% in the central region, and 81% in the south. Moisture content of harvested soybeans is averaging about 11%. 93% of the 2009 winter wheat acreage has been planted, compared with 97% last year and 92% for the five-year average. 75% of the winter wheat acreage has emerged, compared with 88% last year and 72% for the five-year average. This is Greg Matley, Deputy Director, reporting.
Our thanks to the state statisticians for sending us their weekly crop progress reports. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Time on a Tuesday to check in with the agricultural energy markets. Harry Cooney of GrowMark joins us from his Bloomington office this afternoon. Hi, Harry.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, where should we start this afternoon? You want to talk about propane first?
Well, we can talk about propane. It's a big story here. We're having some record demand in parts of the Midwest, especially in the northern and western parts of the Midwest, with grain drying demand, corn drying demand just real strong. And some of our members are reporting that their demand for propane in the month of October this year was higher, the highest single month of any other month in their history of their companies. So we've had some very strong demand for propane. Going to be interesting, Todd, as we get into the late fall and winter to see how our propane stocks look after we go through a lot of it here at harvest as we head into the winter time.
Well, that brings up two questions. One, propane has not been high priced, and it seems to me that it's been going down along with much of the rest of the market for some time. And then the second is, anybody not have enough supply to meet demand?
No. Supply is adequate. That's not to say that some individual terminals don't run out from time to time, but then they get restocked within 8 to 12 hours or so. Sometimes it might be a day or so. But no, the product is there. And what happened was is that some of the demand backed off from the Gulf Coast, where the petrochem industry makes plastic bottles and such. That accounts for about 50% of the entire demand for propane in the U.S. The petrochem industry is a largest single demand area of propane, and a lot of those plants that make plastic bottles were down after the hurricanes. So consequently, the price of propane dipped quite well along with crude oil here, and now we're starting to see it firm back up as crude oil has bounced off the lows in here in the past few days or so in here. So propane stocks look adequate, but it will be interesting if we'd happen to get a real cold winter. Stocks could get on the tighter side real fast.
Are there any seasonal trends you've been watching?
Seasonal trends, yeah. We're watching the seasonal trends in liquids and in propane. They tend to bottom out between Thanksgiving and Christmas. We'll be looking at the market real close over the next 30 to 60 days here now to see if there are some opportunities for 2009. A bunch of end users are out there just waiting in the wings, wanting to buy after seeing what happened this past year. So we're going to look for some great opportunities to buy for 2009. Election day today. What will that give us after today? We still could get a bounce further here in the near term. Then we're hoping for a setback in price again as we get into late November and early December, then look to buy for that 2009 period.
And finally, are you suggesting that end users, farmers in particular, lock in any of their energy needs?
We are down the road. We'll be looking for that. We already have on what we want for fall here now, and then we'll be looking for that 2009 in coming weeks. So we're not just yet, but we're getting our finger ready for the trigger.
All right. Thanks much, Harry.
Thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Harry Cooney is with GrowMark, part of our regular Tuesday afternoon energy series. We talk about energy markets each and every Tuesday and rotate through our analysts. They join us once a month, the first Tuesday of the month. Belongs to Harry Cooney in 2 minutes. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Poll workers are bracing for the late-day rush of voters to the polls before they close in Illinois at 7 o'clock tonight. Turnout up to mid-afternoon has been heavy across the state. Champaign County Clerk Mark Sheldon says the process has gone smoothly with a few relatively minor glitches. Voters are choosing elected officials from president down to the county level. Also on the ballot are referenda on a new Illinois constitutional convention and higher sales taxes in Champaign and Douglas counties. Voting among students on the University of Illinois campus has been relatively light compared to the massive turnout earlier today at some other polling places in the area. Many voters at the Lincoln Avenue Residence Hall say they finished the process in about 10 minutes. A lot of them say they're enthusiastic about voting in a historic election. Hundreds of people are already lining up outside Chicago's Grant Park for a Barack Obama rally. Many of the supporters of the Democratic presidential candidate are sporting Obama T-shirts and buttons. Some are eating lunch by the roadside or chatting on their cell phones as they wait. The event starts this evening in what Obama backers hope will become a victory celebration, but many rallygoers got in line early to ensure they get good views of the festivities later. Obama was in Indianapolis today for some last-minute campaign phone calls. He went to a United Auto Workers local call center and stayed there and made 13 phone calls over 45 minutes. The presidential election isn't the only important race in Indiana today. The governor's race could boil down to whether voters believe Republican Governor Mitch Daniels has pushed through too much change in his first term. Join AM 580 and NPR News for wall-to-wall election night coverage starting at 6 o'clock tonight. Illinois Department of Corrections officials have eased restrictions at the state's largest prison. The 3,500 inmates at Menard Correctional Center near Chester had been confined to their cells since October 27th, after two fights between inmates had to be broken up by guards firing warning shots. As a result, inmate visits were canceled and prisoners were served meals in their cells. A correction spokesman says there's limited inmate movement now. I'm Tom Rogers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Time to check in on what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather. And Don Day of Cheyenne, Wyoming joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Well, tell me about weather here in the Midwest first.
Well, first of all, we're going to be looking at a weather pattern as we head through this election day that's going to be pretty quiet. Nice autumn weather right now going on. In fact, the only real weather is along the mid-Atlantic seaboard, and then we've got a storm system hitting the Pacific Northwest and Northern Rockies. So the middle of the country going to enjoy some fair weather, but a pretty strong cool front. It's going to be moving on in Thursday night and Friday, and rain across many areas of the Midwest will be a good bet, while up in the Dakotas and portions of Minnesota, possibly Wisconsin, and even northern Iowa could be looking at some pretty good chances for some rain and, yes, even some snow.
Ooh, rain and snow? Sounds like November, actually.
Yeah, we are definitely getting into a pattern that's a little bit more seasonable now, not quite as warm as that weather we saw in late October.
And will this hang on for, well, the rest of the season, do you think?
It is certainly looking like November is going to be cooler, more moist, more unsettled, more seasonable than we have seen over the last two or three weeks. All indications point to a colder, more active pattern really for most of the nation in November.
It looks like most of the winter wheat crop is in the ground, so that shouldn't be a problem. Any problem with the crop as it tries to head into dormancy? Any place going to get really cold?
Doesn't look like it. So far, we've been able to hold back any severe cold. I think towards the middle of the month is when we'll see the more significant cold move on in. Now, this winter wheat areas could use some moisture, and this latest storm is going to miss some of the winter wheat country, but odds are better next week and beyond that winter wheat country will get some moisture.
Let's stay with wheat. Maybe update us on how Argentine's wheat crop is going. The Australians are in the midst of harvest. The Ukrainian wheat crop should be being sown, I think, at this time, too.
Well, right now in Argentina, forecast is really looking pretty good. While there's going to be some shower activity for any harvest down there, conditions aren't looking bad for any other of the crops. In terms of moisture conditions, best moisture going to be in many areas of Brazil, looking at above normal, near normal, or above normal precipitation. For Australia, well, they've gotten a little bit more of a wet pattern developing. Some wheat areas of Australia are going to be a little bit wet here. In fact, this may be one of the more wet forecasts we've seen in a while in Australia.
Anything else to update us on the global front, India or Ukraine?
Well, if we were to go to India, we could take a look and see that most of India, most of the growing areas, with the exception of the far south, looking at some moisture. Otherwise, it's going to be a dry weather pattern. If we go over to the Ukraine, over into areas of Europe, it looks like they're going to be experiencing a fairly active pattern next week that's going to bring what should be some shower activity to the Ukraine. They've been dry, but there is some relief coming, especially in about 7 days.
Don, we'll talk with you again in 7 days.
See you then.
All right. Thanks much. Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday. If you'd like to hear what Don had to say again, you can always do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. If you're harvesting still, stay safe out there and have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.